We've mentioned for several weeks now the youth are having a yard sale and are collecting items. So if you have any questions about that or have some items to donate, please let Pastor Tyler or Keisha know, and they will be glad to take them from you. And I know we all have stuff that we need to get rid of, so that'll be a good way to do that. The Guardians Quartet will be here on Friday night, August 5th at 6 p.m. That'll be right around the corner here, but we still have some flyers to hand out, so if you know of some places that are in town that you've not seen a flyer and you want to put one up, please take one and put it up, and we're excited about this community event. We're excited to have them and be able to host them here coming up soon. Many other things in the newsletter each week. Please make sure you're getting that each Friday. If you're not, let us know, and we'll try to see what we can do to make sure you have it. But thank you all for being here this morning, and thank you for your support of the church.
The death of a spouse brings a unique kind of pain. If you feel like you're alone in your grief, be encouraged that you are not. Whatever you're facing, others have faced it too. And at a loss of a spouse event, there are people waiting to help. At a loss of a spouse event, you'll learn what to expect in the weeks and months after your spouse's death and how to survive the loneliness. Loss of a Spouse features video interviews with 7 respected Christian counselors, psychologists, and pastors, plus the inspiring stories of widowed people who've learned how to rebuild their lives. For more information, talk with your pastor or grief share leader.
Jane, would you stand? We always put on these things. Jane Montgomery. See Jane Montgomery for more information. This is Jane Montgomery. Yeah. If you know someone that this would help, that it would benefit, this is a one-day event that will lead into Grief Share, and we'll be telling you a little bit more about Grief Share over the coming weeks. But be sure and remember this, and it is a great opportunity. Pastor Tyler is going to come and talk to us, and then after he finishes, the choir is going to sing. We're going to move into worship. How about that?
So I just wanted to share with you really quickly, the youth is working on some fundraisers going forward. We have the opportunity to take several of our kids to Nazarene Youth Conference in Tampa, Florida next summer, which is rapidly approaching. And I realized that the other day when we figured out how much that was going to cost. So the cost for this trip is $1,800 per person. So we are in the process of raising some funds over the next year-ish, but one of the fundraisers we're working on right now is one that is super simple. So if you will look on your way out on the Bread of Life table, there's a basket there, and in that basket there are envelopes that are numbered from 1 to 100. It's a very simple thing. If you want to participate, there's an envelope there. Whatever envelope you take, if you take 100, then that's $100. If you take a dollar, that's $1. Now, I will tell you, if you take that $100 envelope, don't feel like you have to just put 100 in it. You can put 5 or 6 or 7 in there if you really want to. I won't stop you. I mean, you can bring that envelope to me 10 times if you want to, and it'll be okay. But I just wanted to share that with you. It's out there. There's a basket out there. It's on the Bread of Life table. If you've got any questions, feel free to hunt me down and ask me, or Keisha, either one, and we'll be happy to get you pointed in the right direction.
Strong.
you're able this morning, let's pray together. Father God, I thank you so much for this time to gather in your house and worship you. God, I thank you for your amazing grace. And God, I thank you that even though you're worthy and we're not, that you still extend your grace to us. Father, I pray this morning as we engage you in worship that you would come and meet with us in this place and that we would be able to leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with a God who is worthy of all of our praise. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for everything you do. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
guilty of getting caught just singing words and not really thinking about what they actually say, because I've sung them so many times. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've sung this song, more times than I can count. But this second verse just kind of jumped out at me. It says, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that we serve a God who is able to work, even though we don't necessarily always see it. Just because we don't see his face, just because we don't see him moving in our life, doesn't mean that he's not. It says, I rest on his unchanging grace. His grace doesn't change whether we can see it or not. God is faithful. And it says, in every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. I want you to know this morning that if you are anchored in Jesus, it doesn't matter whether or not you can see him or not. It doesn't matter if you can see his hand moving. It doesn't matter if it feels like God is working in your life. I can promise you this. Jesus loves you, and he is working all things together for the good of those who love him and those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the amazing grace of God that loved us enough to send His only Son. We don't have an answer. We don't know why. We can't understand it because we are not graceful people at times. Without You, we are not graceful at all. But we're so thankful, Lord, that we had this opportunity to worship You in song. Have our hearts and our minds lifted above all the things that are going on in our world, and allow us time to simply focus on You and allow You, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, to speak to us. Thank You for the solid rock upon which we stand, the solid rock that has been provided by Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done. Lord, for some this might have been a very difficult week. Some have faced tests. Some have faced doctor's appointments. And some have had things said to them that maybe they didn't want to hear. Thank You, God, we can come to this place this morning and we can hear of the God who loves us enough, that thinks that we are special enough, that Jesus would come and to die on a cross for us. It goes beyond our understanding, but we give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory this morning. Thank You, God. Thank You that we can bring our needs to You. Thank You, Lord, that we can bring our burdens to You with confidence and assurance in our hearts, that not only are You going to hear our prayers, not only are You going to see our tears, but God, You are going to work. And You are going to move, and You're going to bring about Your good purpose in hearts and lives. Thank You for this congregation who has come this morning. But Lord, we know that in a congregation of this size, there are needs, there are burdens. Some of us need Your conviction this morning. Some of us need Your encouragement this morning. Some of us simply need to know that we are loved, and that that You have provided grace that is sustaining to us and that will help us through whatever we may face in the coming days and weeks and months. And so, Lord, we rejoice that You are here. That You are here to meet our needs, to bear our burdens, to solve our problems, to forgive our sins, to do a work in us that we so desperately need. I pray, Father, that as this congregation this morning gives to You, that You would bless their giving. Thank You for their faithfulness in giving. We're thankful, Lord, for Your faithfulness in giving to us. And we rejoice and give You praise for it. Bless us now as we look into Your Word. May the Holy Spirit move among our hearts. And Lord, help us to not leave this place the same way as we were when we came in. Help us, O God, to be changed as we go into the mission field that is around us. And for what You're going to accomplish in our hearts, our lives, our church, our families, our community, our nation. We give You praise for it in Jesus' name. Wow. Aren't you glad you were part of worship this morning?
Amen. Mm.
I want to speak to you this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look in just a few moments at verses 8 and 9. For the past week, a friend of mine has been posting pictures that he has taken of athletes that he, on a bus, has been shuttling back and forth around the Birmingham area during the World Games. I did not even know the World Games were going on until I saw Randy's posts on Facebook, and he was showing all these people from Croatia, and he was showing all these people that were on his bus, and he was taking them back and forth. And I like summer sporting events.
A lot of you that are here have moved here from very cold places. God did not make me for cold places.
Amen.
You know? Wow. There are times that I look at some of that stuff, and I watch those shows about Alaska, and I wonder, why would anybody want to live in the cold? And I still have not forgiven the board for when I came and they said, oh, it never snows here. One of these days I'm going to preach a series on the Ten Commandments, and we're going to camp on one of those, okay? But I love the summer sporting events. I mean, during the Olympic Games and during the World Games, it's been going on in Birmingham over the past couple of weeks. I mean, it's interesting to watch all those athletes. It's interesting to watch all the events that are going on. But I found out one thing. If you're going to be a part of the World Games, if you're going to be part of the Olympics, you have to have at least three things going in your favor. Number one, you have to have some speed if you're going to be in a race type event. You have to have some skill if you're going to be in some other sort of event, and most of all, irregardless of what kind of event you're going to be in, you have to have some endurance. You have to have some endurance. I ride a bicycle, and last night I got out to ride my bicycle, and I will tell you that after 2 hours, my endurance was gone. 28 miles. Aren't you proud of your old pastor? Of course, the young man that I was riding with got 42, but we won't talk about that, you know. But you begin to think about it. You've got to have some endurance to make it to the end of these races. You just don't make it that way. You just don't get there by hoping that you get there. There has to be some preparation. There has to be something that goes in it. And as you know, for the past few weeks, we have been looking at the amazing grace of God. We've been thinking about what God's grace does in our lives, and you may be sitting there right now thinking, well, William, what in the world does the Olympics or does a sporting event, what all do those things have to do with amazing grace? Well, it really has to do with some endurance that comes along that is provided to us through God's working in us. Look at what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with, excuse me, chapter 12, beginning with verse 8. Three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now, I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time He said, my grace is all you need. My power works best. Did you hear that? My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Now, if you know this passage of Scripture, you know that the context of this passage of Scripture is Paul is talking about his thorn in the flesh. Now, we have no idea what it was, even though a whole lot of people will speculate about what it was, and I'm not going to join in that speculation this morning. We're just going to acknowledge that the Apostle Paul had an issue in his life that seemed to try to hold him back, that seemed to try to derail him many times, and he wanted it removed, and he prayed three times for it to be removed. Now, you read the commentators, and they'll give you some different speculation as to why only three times. In my way of thinking, three times doesn't seem like very many times. But that's for a whole other discussion that we'll have some other time. But you look at that. God in His wisdom, though. God in His wisdom did not remove this from the Apostle Paul. Instead, He said something very interesting to Paul here. He said, my grace is all you need. Isn't that an amazing statement?
My grace is all you need, for my power works best in weakness. And when God said that to the Apostle Paul, at that point in time, Paul then says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. So that the power of Christ can work through me. So that the power of Christ can work through me. He said to Paul, your weakness, which is really the opposite of endurance, your weakness brings about something in you that you could not have if you were trying to do it all on your own. I mean, Paul, as you go through his writings and you begin to read in other places, he told the Philippian Christians in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that God always finishes what he starts. Listen to what he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Wow. God is going to finish what he starts. God is going to bring about something in us that we could not see otherwise unless we go through some of the situations and circumstances of our life. It really means that when you and I are willing to open ourselves up to Christ and we're really willing to live for Him, it doesn't matter what goes on, we're going to trust Him. As Pastor Tyler said a while ago, and he had not read my message, he didn't know what I was about to say, but I'm telling you, even when we can't see God working, even when we don't know what's going on, His grace is still there. His grace is still working. His sustaining grace, His sufficient grace is still there for you and for me. Now, I want to tell you, and we are all running this race. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we like it or not, we are all running this race. And I want you to get to heaven. I really do. If I didn't want you to get to heaven, I wouldn't stand up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I would not do that. I would just, you know, talk to you and let you go on home. I don't want to just see you get to heaven. I really want to see you live life to the fullest that Christ provided for us to have. I really do. And there are times in our life, though, in which trouble comes. There are times in our lives in which temptation comes. There are times in our lives in which we just get tired. And we need God's grace in our lives. And so I basically have just given you my entire sermon there in one sentence. But we're not done yet. I thought you would laugh at that, but you didn't. I want us this morning to look at some things that are in all of our lives. I found out, and a couple of weeks ago we talked about guilt, or last week we talked about guilt, and I found out that that's one of those things that none of us really like to talk about. We don't like to talk about guilt. We don't like to talk about what we feel. But so this morning we're going to talk about a couple of other things that we really don't like to talk about. And the first thing that I want you to see this morning is that God's grace, God's sustaining, God's sufficient grace is given to us to help us stand when we're tempted. It's given to help us stand when we're tempted. Temptation is that first thing that comes along, it seems like. It causes us to stumble. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The New Living Translation reads like this, watch out for the attacks from the devil. Your great enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim. We feel like victims sometimes when temptation comes along, don't we? But then he tells us, he says, stand firm against him and be strong in the faith. I want to tell you this, and a lot of television preachers won't tell you this. A lot of preachers will tell you that when you become a Christian, that everything is going to be sunshine and roses.
Jim Cook. We called him Pa Cook in Laurel. I'll never forget. Pa Cook was one of these guys that always had a whole lot of country wisdom. If you wanted a carpenter, they're probably one better in Jones County than Jim Cook. But Pa Cook always had something. And he said, he was telling us one day, talking about the Christian life. Somebody said, well, the Christian's life is not a bed of roses. He said, oh, yes, it is. Well, now that caught my attention. He said, the reason I'm telling you that the Christian life is a bed of roses is because in every rose there is a thorn. And temptation comes along, and many times it is the thorn in our life. And people will tell you that everything's going to be sunshine and roses, and yes, it will be roses, but there will be thorns on those roses. You are no longer a friend of the devil. You have now moved into the enemy camp, as far as he is concerned. And so he is out to do everything that he can do to destroy us. That's what Peter said. He goes about as a roaring lion looking for a victim. We're going to be faced with moral issues. We're going to be faced with moral choices. Am I going to do right? Am I going to do wrong? Am I going to do good? Am I going to do bad? Am I going to be selfish? Am I going to be unselfish? You see, all of these things come along in temptation that comes our way. The Bible says that every person in this room is tempted. You will never get beyond temptation. The temptation may change. Okay? The temptations may change. But you'll never get to a point that you're not tempted. Even Jesus, the Bible tells us, was tempted at all points as we are, yet was without what? Sin. You see, the reality of temptation is going to be there. Sometimes things come into our minds and we honestly sit there and think, how in the world, where in the world did that come from? My wife also says some things that are important from time to time. And I listen to every one of them. The altar will be open, I understand, here in just a moment. I heard her say one time, and I don't think it was original to her because I've heard other people say it. But she said one time, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Temptation is going to come to every person in this room. And the devil, he will be more than generous. He will give you all kinds of ideas. He will give you all kinds of avenues that down which you can go. Several years ago, and this is going to date me when I tell you this, several years ago, Billy Graham was on Larry King. Some of you remember that. Some of you are going, who are those two people? They were talking about all the various scandals that happened in Washington, D.C. And finally, Larry King looked at Billy Graham and he says, you're 80 years old and you've been in the public limelight your entire life and you've never had a scandal. You have a history of integrity. How have you managed to never have a scandal in your life? And Billy Graham quoted this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the temptations that you have are the same ones that all people have, but you can trust God. Amen. He will not let you be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape that you will be able to stand it. Folks, let me tell you, there is God's sustaining grace. Can I tell you what happens with a whole lot of us, though? This isn't in the notes, but I'm going to tell you anyway. A whole lot of us don't look for the way out. I'm smiling. A whole lot of us don't look for the way out. We just see the temptation and, well, I'm going to fail anyway, so here I'll go. No, 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 no. God wants us to realize that His sustaining grace is here. His sustaining grace is here in order to help us when we face temptation to be able to make it through the temptation successfully. Well, that's not a word you hear much from the pulpit, is it? We don't want to, but that is the reality of it. God wants us to live a life
that is abundant. God wants us to live a life that is overcoming of the temptations that we face each and every day. And folks, let me tell you, we are able to overcome temptation in our lives. If we are not able to overcome temptation in our lives, then Jesus' death was in vain. Did you hear that? He died so that you and I might be able to overcome temptation in our lives. So you see, we have sustaining grace when we're tempted. We have sustaining grace when we're tired. And sometimes, folks, we are just tired. I won't ask you this morning if you're tired. The sudden rush of hands going into the air might move the air in here too fast, you know. Life is exhausting. I'm serious. You know, I saw a meme this week on Facebook that said to all those people who, when I was 30 and they were 62, I made fun of them. I want you to know I'm sorry. I sent it to a friend. I said, "This is me." You know, I remember thinking, you know, years ago when the people were around and they were reaching at that point in time when you reached 62, you retired. I remember thinking as a 25, 30-year-old, they're old. What an idiot I was. You know? They say that 62 is now the new 40. Oh no, it's right, you know. Oh my goodness. But life is exhausting. I'm telling you, with everything that is going on in our world, and it's hard to keep up with it all. Somebody said a while ago, I was sitting back at the computer, and they said, "Pastor, you're very technical." And I thought, "No, I'm not. This thing has gone far beyond me." I look at Gail, and I'm going to tell you, Gail has forgot. Gail, I have to point at which Gail I'm talking about now. Gail has forgotten more about Windows than I will ever learn about Windows. I mean, can I say how old you are? He's in his 80s, and he's teaching a computer class. I'm tired, I'm telling you. And there are times in this event of the Christian experience that we do, as the Apostle Paul said, we grow weary in doing well, in well-doing. There are times in our lives in which we go and 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 the Apostle Paul tells us, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap a harvest of blessing." How the New Living Translation says it, if we do not give up. But where are you going to get what you need? Where are you going to be able to have what you need in order to do what you need to do? And you know, I watch Sunday school teachers come in sometimes, and I watch choir members, and I watch all people come in. And I know when you come in, you're tired. I know especially when some of you come down from Sunday school classes, you're tired. Where are we going to be able to find the strength that we need in order to do what we are called to do? Through the sustaining grace of God. Through God's grace. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, "Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, a guaranteeing what is to come." The New Living Translation says it like this: "It is God who gives us the ability to stand firm in Christ." He has commissioned us. He has identified us as His own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You and I accomplish nothing but by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We believe in salvation. We believe in sanctification. But we don't believe it ends at those two works of grace. We believe that God continues to help and that God continues to empower and that God continues to strengthen as we live our lives for Him. Don't we believe that? That's what it's all about. You see, the Holy Spirit is there for us to strengthen us and to help us. But I'm going to tell you the problem. And I said this last week, and I'm going to say this again. The reason I can tell you the problem is because there are times in my life that I am very guilty of this, what I'm about to tell you. Okay? So don't think I'm up here giving you pie in the sky. I'm telling you reality this morning. There are times that I try to do everything in my own strength and power. And when I get to the end of the day, I am wore out. I got here this morning, and I'm just going to be as honest as I can be. I was tired when I got here this morning. And went upstairs for Sunday school and taught the kids this morning. And left that class feeling ready after that class to do what I'm doing right now because of four kids who blessed my socks off. And then we worshiped. And I may go home and fall out on the floor, but I'm telling you, God's truth is in this morning. His sustaining grace is available to us. We don't need to do it all in ourselves. That was one of the problems that Moses had. I'm not going to take time. I don't have time to develop that this morning. But Moses' father-in-law, after Moses was dead dog tired, Moses' father-in-law came and said, "What you're doing is not right." And then he helped Moses as they began to work through all of that situation of organizing Israel. But Moses was trying to do it all in his own strength. We went just a few weeks ago to the ark, and I look at that and realize it took Noah 120 years to build that ark. And if it was anything like what we saw in Kentucky, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It wouldn't have taken me 120 years. It'd taken me 520 years. But I'm glad God's grace is available for Noah. Can you imagine what he went through? 120 years of people making fun. 120 years of wondering how this thing was going to come out. 120 years, I think, of wondering, is God going to work in this thing? Or am I doing this? Maybe that's not you, but sometimes that is me. Okay? I really do believe that God will energize. I remember sitting before a Board of Orders and Relations, and that's what it used to be called. I remember sitting before a Board of Orders and Relations meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, and them asking me what I thought sanctification really does for us. And I said, well, I really think that sanctification is a cleansing experience. But I said, I also think that sanctification is a charging experience, that it empowers us to be able to do what God has called us to. And if we try to do everything on our own, we're going to end up tired. But God's sustaining grace will enable us to do what He's called us to do. The last thing I want you to see this morning is that there's power to go on when we're troubled. It's interesting that Jesus tells us that. It's interesting that Jesus says, in this world you are going to have trouble. He didn't hide anything from us. He put it all out there on the table. In this world, you're going to have trouble. He expected it, so we should not be surprised when it happens to us. And there are all kinds of troubles that come into our lives. There are those kind of troubles that come along that basically just blow us like the wind, and we wonder what in the world is going on. There are those troubles in our life when it feels like everything has been pulled out from under us. There are those troubles in our lives that are unplanned, and we don't know where they came from, and we don't know if they're ever going to end. Jesus told us that we were going to have trouble. But Jesus didn't stop there. Praise His name. He did not stop there. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but what? I have overcome this world. I'm with you. I've overcome this world. You don't have to fear. I love what Isaiah says, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 46, verse 1, in the New Living Translation says, God is our refuge and strength. He always ready to help us in times of trouble. Folks, let me tell you, God's grace is not just there for when you're tempted. God's grace is not just there for when you're tired. God's grace is there for when you are in trouble. And sometimes, now let's be honest, sometimes the trouble's brought on by ourselves. I know I went from preaching to meddling there. You know? But sometimes it happens. Sometimes trouble comes our way. And if it does, let me give you four things that you can do. I'm going to go through these real quick so we're going to get out of here and beat the Baptist to Cracker Barrel, okay?
Amen.
When trouble comes our way, we need to call out to God. You know? James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 says, God gives grace to the humble. To those who are in trouble, to those who are going through difficult times, God gives His grace when we call out to Him. Another thing you and I need to do, if we're going to overcome the troubles in our life, we need to fill our lives with the Word of God. There are all kinds of self-help books out there, and I'm not putting down any self-help group or any self-help book, but I want to tell you something. Before you run to self-help books, you need to go to the Word of God. I know that sounds simplistic, but I'm telling you, that's the truth. That's where you're going to find what you need. You can read everything else, but you need to find what you need first and foremost. That is our food, folks, as Christians. We need to feast upon the Word of God. We need to look to other people. There are people in this congregation who have been through situations, who have been through circumstances, who have gone through all kinds of problems. And if you know that someone has gone through what you're going through, and you know that they'll keep your secret, you need to go to them and you need to talk to them. And let me say this, if somebody comes to you and they want to share their life with you and what's going on in their life with you, you need to do what you need to do and keep your mouth shut beyond them. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. We are here for each other. We are here to support each other. And we need to go to each other. We need to hold on to God's promises. I mean, someone has said that they counted them and that there are over 7,000 promises in God's Word. Let me just give you one. Isaiah 40. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths will grow tired. But those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see right now, or rather we look forward to what we have not seen yet. For the troubles we see will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Praise His name. Amen. Praise His name. We sing a lot about heaven. I don't know what all heaven's going to be like, but this much I do know. The troubles that we face here, we will not face there. Conclusion. Do you need God's grace today? We've talked about a lot of grace over the past few weeks, but do you need God's sustaining, sufficient grace today? Are you discouraged? Do you feel like giving up? Are you tempted? Are you going through trials? Are you going through troubles? Are you feeling like that the world is against you and there is no hope for tomorrow? I'm glad to tell you this morning that God's sustaining grace is available for you today. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give out. God's grace is available. Listen to what Paul said. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, therefore, because of that, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Lord Jesus, we're grateful this morning for Your grace. Grace to help us when we're tempted. Grace to help us in our trials. Grace to help us in our troubles. Grace to help us when we're tired. And I'm thankful, Lord, for these who have sat here this morning and who have listened so attentively. But perhaps somebody came to this place this morning and temptation seems to have gotten the best of them this week. I pray, Father, that right now where they're sitting, that they would simply say, oh God, You know the week I had. I failed. But God, you tell us in Your Word that if we confess our sins, You're faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, I bring to You my failures, my flops, my fumbles, my sins. I trust Your sustaining, saving grace. Lord, if there are those here who are here this morning that are tired, they've been trying to do all of the things in their lives on their own, and they're just at a point of weakness. They just don't have what they need to go on. May they find Your sustaining grace this morning. In their weakness, may You be made strong, and may You help them. For those this morning that maybe seem to be going through troubles and trials, and they just don't seem to be able to get beyond that. Thank You, God, that we can trust You. Thank You, God, that You will give us what we need to overcome the trouble in our life, knowing that You told us that we would have trouble. But You also told us, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world.
Amen.
So we praise You and we thank You that Your grace is sufficient, that Your grace will sustain us, that Your grace will empower us, that Your grace will do exactly what we need in our lives so that we can live this Christian life with joy. We can live this Christian life with the strength that we need that only comes from You. We can live it in such a way that those people who are around us in this world who don't know You will see what we have and want what we have, and what we have is You. So bless us and help us. Strengthen us, encourage us, empower us. do what we need in our lives today. And we give you glory, praise, and honor for the opportunity that we've had to listen to your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the Sunday school hour before. May we go from this place encouraged and empowered. May we go in your strength. May we go in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad you were here this morning. I want you to remember, it's been on the screen every week. Grace changes what?
Everything.
I love you. I appreciate you being here this morning. Remember the service this evening. We're going to be looking at the fulfilled word. We're going through the Sermon on the Mount. You come, and I know that God's going to bless you and help you. You are dismissed. Amen.